This is WFAE News. I'm Gwendolyn Glenn. February 1st marks the start of Black History Month, but it's also the 60th anniversary of the sit-in of four African-American students from North Carolina A&T State University at a segregated Woolworth lunch counter in Greensboro. The students Joseph McNeil, Franklin McCain, Ezell Blair, and David Richmond were known as the Greensboro Four. They were not the first to stage sit-ins like this, but as they courageously showed up at the Woolworths for nearly 6 months, word of their actions spread across the nation, sparking youth, especially in college towns, to push for change. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, formed in Raleigh at Shaw University shortly after the Greensboro sit-in started. Today, the Greensboro Woolworth is the home of the International Civil Rights Center and Museum. WBTV reporter Steve Crump was there for its opening and has now produced a documentary on one of the Greensboro Four, Franklin McCain, who lived in Charlotte. I talked with Crump about the documentary and why he chose to focus on McCain.
Some of this is a bit of a rehash, and with the focus being on Franklin McCain and considering that I've interviewed him a lot of times over the years, there was a good bit of material that ended up on the cutting room floor that we couldn't get to. So we resurrected part of that. I think, you know, the best analogy I can use is that a lot of music people, they like the first version of Eric Clapton's Layla, and then years later comes the acoustic version. So I kind of think that this is my acoustic version of some of the sit-in projects that I've done over the years. And one other point to that is the following week here in Charlotte, the students at Johnson C. Smith University, led by the late Charles Jones, who just passed away a few weeks ago, jumped into action as well.
Tell us about McCain and why you chose to focus on him, because most documentaries that I've seen, they focus on all four. Tell me, why did you choose to focus on him alone?
Frank, as I call him, lived here in Charlotte. We were good friends, and there were a lot of people that viewed him as the architect of what happened. So, you know, he just seemed to be such a natural to get to.
Tell me a little more about him.
Frank was a businessman, worked for Celanese. His degree was in chemistry. He was a beloved father, grandfather. I mean, as much as he could, in spite of where he was in making this amazing contribution to history, he was a regular guy.
Here's a clip from the new documentary with McCain saying how he felt on that first day of the historical Greensboro sit-in.
I had a sense of dignity, a sense of worth, and a sense of manhood to an extent that I had never felt in my life before. In fact, it was just overwhelming. And I had the real feeling that if life should have ended at that very moment, then I wouldn't have been cheated at all.
Frank did not give up once the lunch counters were integrated in Greensboro. Found himself at the March on Washington. One of his big pet projects, along with his late wife Betty, who sat in, was a student at Bennett College, because the women from Bennett participated with the North Carolina A&T students as well. They championed for many years the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, which was pretty much headed up by Thurgood Marshall for a number of years, and later fell on the shoulders of a civil rights attorney from Charlotte, Julius Chambers. The other thing about Franklin, in terms of the gravity of what it is he had done, I was at the Newseum, you know, which focuses on news in D.C., and there were a couple of exhibits that had Frank's picture. But the one that got me the most, when you go to the brand new African-American History Museum, and I remember going into the cafeteria that day and ordering shrimp and grits, of all things, and what do I see on the wall? A mural of Frank McCain and the Greensboro Four. Not only that, they had artifacts as well as things that came out of Greensboro as part of a sit-in tribute and exhibit.
The Woolworth, where they had the sit-in, that is now the Civil Rights International Museum.
Civil Rights Museum. And it is a riveting and very compelling venue. Not only do you have the lunch counters there and the separate water fountains and all that, but they've done a really excellent job in recreating the past.
I love how they have all of the artifacts from that time, the plates, everything, and then the visuals that are behind it. It makes you feel as if you were there.
Absolutely. In interviewing Franklin McCain, and you will hear this in the documentary, where he describes the museum as being, quote, his conscience, that he feels a moral obligation as a result of what that museum stands for and represents. Franklin passed away in 2014. I was honored to be one of his pallbearers. And at that funeral at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, there were a lot of speakers, including Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Steve Crump, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Steve Crump, a WBTV reporter and documentarian. His latest documentary is titled Franklin McCain, Flashbacks and Observations from a Civil Rights Trailblazer. Crump's documentary will be shown at a free screening on February 5th at the Harvey B. Gantt Center for African American Arts and Culture. It will air on February 21st on WBTV and February 22nd on Bounce TV.